Thank you for listening to Torah Media Atlanta. Won't you consider making a donation to help support this important work? Just go to TorahMediaAtlanta.com and click on the donate link. Thank you very much.
It is August the 26th, and we are in Parshas Bechukosai.
7:10.
Okay. We're finishing up the last parsha of Sefer Vayikra, page 710.
We're not going to finish it at the same time. We're close.
Okay. Now, with tonight's class, we're going to start the Tochacha. The Tochacha, as you know, is a series of psukim that detail what will happen, God forbid, should the Jews not keep the Torah. There are two sets of Tochachos in the Torah. One is here in Parshas Bechukosai. The other one is actually this week's parasha, Parshas Kisavo, later on. Those are the two. The one that we're going to read in Shul this week in Parshas Kisavo is much longer than this one here in Parshas Bechukosai. And Rashi and others compare and contrast the two different Tochachos, the one here and the one in Parshas Kisavo. So this one is shorter. However, this one is a little more harsh, as we'll see. They're both harsh, but it's a little more harsh. This one is worded as Hashem speaking directly to the Jewish people. As the first few words begin in Pasuk Yudal, verse 14 on page 710, V'im lo sishmu li, and if you do not listen to me. So Hashem is telling this directly to the Jewish people. Rather than Moshe Rabbeinu narrating and saying, and if you don't listen to Hashem, this is what will happen. Instead, it is Hashem speaking directly. Moshe Rabbeinu is quoting Hashem, of course, but the wording is directly from Hashem. And if you do not listen to me, then this is the following is going to happen. And it's not pleasant. In Shul, when we read the Tochacha, whether it's this one or whether it's the one in Parshas Kisavo, Tochacha means admonishment. That's what the words mean. So whether we read this one or the one in Parshas Kisavo, the minhag is, the custom is, that the Baal Kriya reads it in a lower tone of voice and quickly, in order to underscore that we're not comfortable with these psukim. They're scary. They're unpleasant. We don't want to dwell on them. So he reads them slowly. Quickly and in a low voice.
Do you think it should be the other way?
So there are those who disagree. One of my rabbis once told me that Rav Dessler writes that the Tochacha should be read slowly and carefully and loudly in order to frighten the daylights out of us so that we will keep the Torah. That's what some say. But the minhag is not to do it that way. The minhag is to read it quickly and in a lower tone of voice. Yeah.
And isn't he always the one who gets...
Okay, and that's the other thing, which is that since it's considered to be a bad omen to get this aliyah, we don't want to call someone to come to the Torah for this aliyah. Therefore, the minhag is to give the aliyah to the Baal Kriya himself, that he takes this aliyah. If the Baal Kriya is a Kohen or a Levi, in which case he cannot take this aliyah, the Kohen gets the first aliyah, the Levi gets the second aliyah, and the Kohen or Levi cannot get other aliyahs, they can only get Mafter, they can't get anything else, so or Achron, but he can't get this aliyah, then the minhag is to give it to the Gabbai. In other words, someone who's already standing there. Rather than calling somebody up to take this aliyah, you give it to someone who's already standing at the Torah, and he's just there and he takes the aliyah. In some shuls, not here, but in some shuls, the minhag is that you don't even call anybody. Just, you don't say Ya'amod, you don't call anybody. Just, without saying anything, the Baal Kriya or the Gabbai just says Baruch Hu and begins the Aliyah and says the Bracha and just starts without any preamble, nobody calling him up. In Beth Jacob, our minhag is that we do call the the person, but we give it to the Baal Kriya who's already standing there, and if he's a Kohen or a Levi, Rabbi Hiller is a Yisrael, so we can call him. If he would be a Kohen or a Levi, then we would call the Gabbai. Yeah. It's still Torah. It's not. I mean, we don't want to say it's not Torah. Chas v'shalom. It is Torah, and it is. It's still an Aliyah, but people are nervous about it, which is understandable.
They say that, you know, when you say something loud and clear, words are very powerful. So the louder and clear it is, means more powerful. If you say it soft and fast, you kind of
right. That's the reason. That would be the argument to do it the other way, not the way we do it. Right.
So if Rabbi Hiller does it and he happens to lane three or four times a Shabbos, does he do it every time?
Yeah, that's the minute. There's nothing wrong with that. A person can get several aliyahs, that's okay. But that's what would happen. That's what would happen. The fact of the matter is that because we read it differently than we read the rest of the Torah, even though it is low and fast, it still makes an impression because everybody notices, hey, this is different. Mm-hmm. So people pay attention all of a sudden because, hey, wait, what's going on? So it does draw our attention even though it is being read fast and low.
Well, that's fine to not draw your attention. Just not to dwell on it.
So Rabbi Pransky, how does the Baal Kriya call himself?
No, he doesn't call, you mean the Gabbai, if it would be...
I mean, the one who's reading will be doing it unless he's a Kohen. So how does he call him?
He doesn't call, the Gabbai calls him.
Oh.
The Gabbai says Yamod and says his name. And
says his name,
right.
Okay.
If it would be the Gabbai getting the Aliyah, so he can't call himself, so then either the Gabbai Sheni or the Baal Kriya will say Yamod for the Gabbai. Yeah, that's the way they'll do it. Now, there are other minhagim, there are other customs that accompany the tochacha. One is that we don't start the aliyah with the tochacha. We start the aliyah a few psukim before the tochacha, which are psukim of bracha. So here, we read this last time, but if you'll notice one page earlier in 708, the aliyah starts with the word va'achaltem in pasuk yud in verse 10, because that's really a bracha. So we start with psukim of bracha and a few psukim before the tochacha. And we read those psukim of bracha and then continue into the tochacha. And it's noticeable because the Baal Kriya will read the psukim of bracha loud and slow, and then all of a sudden he'll dip his voice down and move quickly when he gets to the tochacha. Similarly, at the end of the tochacha, which... the tochacha ends on page 716. So, pasuk mem dalet verse 44 is actually already switching to a bracha. So, starting from there, the Baal Kriya will slow down and raise his voice back to the regular type of reading. So again, in contrast, we want to start with good and end with good and only have the bad in the middle. That's the way we do it. So that is another minhag, another custom that revolves around the tochacha. Finally, the minhag with the tochacha is we don't stop in the middle. We read it all in one aliyah. Now, in Parashas Bechukosai, the tochacha isn't that long, so it's not so unusual to read this many psukim in one aliyah. However, in Parashas Kisavo, this week's parasha in Shul, you'll see it's a very long aliyah when we read the tochacha, and that's because we don't want to stop in the middle. We want to get the whole thing over with in one shot and get it done. So it's all done in one thing. Now, all these minhagim are based on rules and psukim that we have. For instance, the pasuk says, "Al ta'amod b'davar ra." Don't stand or dwell on a bad thing. So you don't stop in the middle, because then you'd be stopping right in the middle of a bad thing. We don't want to do that. We want to get it over with. We're through. So we get through it and end with some psukim of bracha, and that's the end of the tochacha. In learning it, which is what we're starting to do now, we are not going to be able to keep those minhagim, because we don't have enough time to read the entire tochacha and explain it and study it in one sitting. So actually, we will take several weeks to do it. and therefore we will be stopping in the middle. So we're going to be stopping in an unpleasant place and starting with an unpleasant place. But that's because we're studying. The minhag not to do that is when you're reading it in public, in shul. But when you're studying it, of course, you study however best you'll understand it. And therefore, for us, we will keep a regular pace in how we study the tochacha in the same way that we study everything else.
Now, we can just add a little bracha before we start.
Yeah, we can do that. We can do that. Just add that there are other psukim in the Torah that say negative things, that, oh, if you don't listen, this is what's going to happen, or because you didn't listen, this is why that happened. There are other psukim like that, but they're not in bulk. You have a pasuk here, a pasuk there, a couple of psukim here, so that we don't call that the tochacha, even though they are words of admonishment, because they're very small, very short, and that's that. The two places where we have a whole bunch of psukim together are what we formally call the tochacha, and that's here in Parshas Bechukosai and this week's Parsha and Parshas Kisavo. Yeah.
So really, the tochacha is a blessing in disguise, because Hashem cares enough about us to tell us, look, I'm giving you all these magnificent opportunities, and if you don't listen, this is what's going to happen. So it's really a blessing. It's not like, oh, we didn't know that. So it's really a blessing, as difficult as it is, kind of like surgery, you know. It's it's hopefully helpful.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. There's no question that the point of the tochacha is to encourage us not to go down that road. That's the whole point of it. So yes, the Hashem is forewarning us so that we don't behave in the manner that would bring, God forbid, to these punishments. Right. That's true. There will be scattered throughout the tochacha some elements of bracha. As we'll see, they're kind of veiled, but we'll see as we go along that there are some elements of bracha. Pasuk Yudal, verse 14. V'im lo tishmu li, and if you do not listen to me, and you do not perform all of these mitzvos, and if you reject my statutes, and my laws your souls throw away, not to do all of my mitzvos, to annul my covenant. So all of that was saying, and if you don't listen to me, this is what's going to happen. But, of course, the Torah does not add extra words. And so, Chazal tell us that what actually is happening over here is the Torah is enumerating 7 steps of moving away from Hashem. Let's look at these psukim again and explain them. Starting again with Yudal 14. V'im lo sishmu li, if you don't listen to me, Chazal say that means if you don't toil in Torah. Our last class before we broke for the summer was about toiling in Torah. If you don't toil in Torah, that's the first rebellion against Hashem. V'lo sa'asu es kol ha-mitzvos so'ela, and you do not perform all these mitzvos, Chazal say, if you don't toil in Torah, the next thing that will happen is you will not perform the mitzvos. Those who don't toil in Torah end up not performing the mitzvos. Next, v'im b'chukosai tim'asu, and if you reject, what's a better word than that? If you
consider my decrees loathsome.
Loathsome. Okay, you loathe my decrees. So Chazal say what that means is that a person who does not study and then does not perform the mitzvos, he ends up loathing those who perform the mitzvos. And it becomes, the person feels judged, and therefore they loathe others. It makes them feel inadequate when they see others doing mitzvos. So they begin to loathe those who are performing the mitzvos. That's step 3. Vemes v'imes mishpatai tig'al nafshechem, and my statutes, your souls will
reject.
That, say Chazal, is that then the next step, step 4, is that the person begins to have complaints and he begins to hate Sone, he begins to hate the sages, because he ends up deciding that the blame for all of this is those rabbis. And therefore he ends up hating the sages. That's step number 4. Step five is levilti asos, is not to perform. Now, he already wasn't performing the mitzvahs. We already said he wasn't performing the mitzvahs. So this means, say Chazal, that he will prevent others from performing the mitzvahs. That's the next step. It's not good enough that he himself is not performing the mitzvahs. He wants others to stop doing the mitzvahs, and he takes action against those who are performing mitzvahs. Then it says, "Es kol mitzvosai, all my mitzvos, say Chazal." This is a reference that the next step is, step six, is that he rejects that Hashem ever commanded the mitzvos. He says, "These, it's not true. There is no such thing as Shabbos. You made that up. There's no such thing as kosher. It isn't true. Hashem never said this. It's not true. Hashem never made these mitzvos." And finally, lahafrachem esperisi, to annul my covenant, step seven, is that he rejects that there is a Hashem. He ends up being kofir bi'ikar, that he becomes, he rejects the fact there is Hashem at all. He becomes, I guess, I don't know if it's an atheist or whatever it is, but he says there's no God. So the seven... There are seven steps going from an observant, God-fearing Jew to someone who completely rejects God. And the seven steps are, he does not study, which then leads to not performing the mitzvos, which then leads to loathing those who do perform the mitzvos, which leads to hating the sages, which leads to preventing others from doing the mitzvos, which leads to denying that the mitzvos were ever commanded, which leads to denying God himself. That's the seven steps. If you think about the progression of movements and individuals that have gone away from observance of the Torah over many years, you can see this if you go back enough time and you track the progression. You see these steps, and you see how it happens. You see that it goes from the people being ignorant, they don't study. Once they are ignorant of the law, then they don't perform the law. And then...
But these people were firm to begin with.
Yes, yes. In other words, we're showing a progression, right? We're not talking about people who never knew anything. Okay. We're talking about people, right? But if you can still track it, you can still track it. You can look at either movements or individuals that, you know, you see the slippery slope and how it works. We all have, unfortunately, we know examples. And you can see it, how a person goes from just saying, I'm not interested in studying. And then I'm not interested in performing. Then they start to become antagonistic. They begin to loathe those who are performing. Then they start talking evil about the rabbis. And then they actually take steps to prevent others from doing the mitzvahs. Then they say, oh, no, that's not true. There is no such mitzvah in the Torah. It doesn't exist. And then finally they reject God himself. That is the progression.
Yeah.
Those are the seven steps of rejection of God. So, because it is a seven-step process, therefore we will see the number seven will be a recurring theme here in the Tochacha, that Hashem is going to say, if you're going to do these seven negative things, then my punishments will come in groups of seven. And there'll be seven punishments which will correlate to these seven steps. So, Pasuk Tes Zayin, verse 16, Af ani e'esezos lachem. So I will also do this to you. I will also respond with seven punishments. The word af, which means even or also, is used because the word af also can be used to mean anger. Charon af means anger. That's why that word is used. So Hashem says, I will do these things to you. So what are the seven initial punishments? V'ifkarti alechem behalah. I will bring upon you, how do they say?
Assign
upon you confusion, which is es ha-shachefes ves ha-kadachas. These are two different punishments, shachefes and kadachas. They're two different types of sicknesses. Shachefes is a skin disease, and kadachas is a fever. So that, as Rashi explains, sometimes a person has a debilitating skin disease, but they're not running a fever. Other times a person is running a fever, but their skin is okay. When a person has both, they are very, very uncomfortable and it is dangerous. So that's the first two of the seven punishments.
This wasn't Sa'aris. This is a different skin thing?
No, this would be... No, not Sa'aris. This would be boils or whatever, that kind of thing. Michalos einayim umdivos nafesh. That... I'm going to have to use the English over here. Which cause eyes to long, meaning longing for getting better, for healing, and souls to suffer. It'll cause the souls to suffer because people are going to be upset over these sicknesses. Uzratem larik zarachem va'achaluhu oyveichem. And you will sow your seeds in vain, and your enemies will eat it. Meaning that the Jews will sow their seeds, they'll plant their plants in vain, they won't grow. And anything that does grow will be eaten by the enemy. I will place my face upon you, which means I will put my attention upon you, says Hashem, but not for good, for bad. And you will be struck down in front of your enemies. And your enemies will control you, will
subjugate
you, okay? Vinastem, and you will run away. Ve'ein rodefeschem, with nobody running after you. You'll be running out of fear, but there'll be no pursuers. Now, there not being any pursuers is actually a good thing, but it means there's going to be a lot of fear. People running from nothing, that's not a healthy situation when people are running from fear.
I thought it was like nobody was going to help them.
We're going to get to that. There'll be that right here, though, it's no one is running after them. Now, Chazal here tell us that the phrase "Uzratem larik zarachem va'achaluhu oyveichem" at the end of Pasuk Tezayin, the end of 16, that you will sow in vain your seeds and your enemies will eat it, will consume it. So there is a double meaning over here, and that is, I'll read to you how Rashi says it. Yeah, Rashi writes, "Davar acher, uzratem larik zarachem, you will sow your seed in vain. Keneged habanim vehabanos hakasuf medaber." The Torah is actually speaking about the children, the sons and the daughters. "Shata omel bohen umegadlan, that you will toil in them and raise them. V'achet ba umechala osam, and the sin will come and destroy them. Shenemar, as the verse says in Eicha, asher tipachti v'ribisi, that which I toiled in and that which I increased, oivi kilam, my enemies have destroyed them." The verse is telling us that we know that raising children is challenging in any environment. We all are aware of that. We're also aware that raising children in a secular environment is particularly difficult. To raise God-fearing children is very, very hard, and something which parents really put in a great deal of effort and toil and tears and prayer at parents for their children. But the Torah is telling us that one of the consequences of, God forbid, averos, is that the children will end up not being that the parents will not be able to get the children to hold on to the Torah, that the children will drift away from the Torah. That is one of the consequences of sin. Sometimes it's always very, very distressing when we see a child, a teenager, that moves away from the way they were brought up. It's a distressing thing. And we understand that it's hard. It's very difficult. It's very difficult. We're in a secular society. The draw, it's very, very enticing, the world out there. There's a lot that will draw people away from the Torah. It's hard enough for adults to adhere to the Torah. Certainly a child and a teenager, there's a lot pulling them away. What we often fail to consider is that sometimes the sins themselves that people do contribute to the difficulty in the children remaining as God-fearing adherents to the Torah. That the sin themselves creates a worse atmosphere. When we keep the Torah, we create a better atmosphere for the children. There's the direct way to do that, but even indirectly, just by people keeping the Torah, then Hashem creates a greater aura to keep the children within the Torah itself. Whereas if, God forbid, there is sin, then things break down much more quickly. So that is also a consequence of sin, and it's part of the Tochacha itself. So that's the first group. How do you count? Seven over here. I was counting it as I went along. I'm not sure I got it right. We have the Shachefes and Kadachas. That's the skin disease and the fever. That's two. We have that sowing the seeds in vain. That's three. The enemy is consuming it is four. That the enemies will strike them down. You'll be struck down in front of your enemies. That's five. Your enemies will subjugate you is six. And v'nastem, you'll run away. No one's going to chase you. Run away, that's seven. So those are the first seven punishments. Pasuk Yudches, verse 18. V'im ad eila lo sishmu li, and if until these you don't listen to me, in other words, if you don't get the message with the first seven, v'yasafti li asra eschem, I will continue to afflict you, sheva al chatoseichem, seven for your sins. In other words, seven punishments for the seven sins. So what are the next seven? V'shavarti es ga'on uzechem, I will break, I'm looking at the English here,
the pride of your might.
The pride of your might. V'shavarti es ga'on uzechem, this is the Beis HaMikdash, meaning I will destroy the Beis HaMikdash. V'nasati es shemeichem ka'barzel ves artzechem ka'nechusha, I will make the sky like iron, and I'll make the ground like copper, which means that it will not rain. The sky will be like iron, that there will be no rain coming from the sky, and the ground will be like copper, that the ground won't have any moisture either. There'll be no moisture, moisture can come from the ground as well, but it won't. So those are the first three punishments. V'sam larik kochachem, and your strength will be spent in vain. That's four. V'lo sitein artzechem es yivula, and your land will not give its produce. That's five. Ve'etz ha'aretz. Now these words ve'etz ha'aretz, the tree of the land, is read both with the previous sentence, which is going to be the sixth punishment, and with the rest of the sentence, which is the seventh punishment. Meaning the clause eitz haaretz, the tree of the land, goes with the previous clause and with the following clause. So the way you read it is, I'm going to go back a few words. V'lo sitein artzechem es yivula, your land will not give its bounty. We said already that was the fifth punishment, and the eitz haaretz, the land will also not give forth the tree of the land. The tree of the land will also not grow well. That's number six. And any trees that are already there, now we read those words again, ve'etz ha'aretz lo yitein piryo, the tree of the land will not give its fruit. Let's see, the tree can have two different types of punishments. The tree won't grow, and a tree that does grow will not produce fruit. And so it's two different punishments. So those are the seven additional punishments. Now, in Pasuk Yotes, verse 19, it says that the sky will be like iron and the ground will be like copper. This is a curse. It's a bad thing. It means that there won't be rain, there won't be moisture. The nature of iron and copper are different. Iron does not sweat, meaning that if you have an iron item, it will remain, if there's no moisture, it will remain dry. Copper sweats. That if you have a copper item, it will get moist. You'll feel moisture on it on a hot day. You'll feel moisture on the copper. So Chazal tell us that this is actually a very, very terrible curse, because the sky will be like iron, which means it won't even sweat. There'll be no moisture coming from the sky. The ground will be like copper, which means that there will be a little bit of moisture, but that's a bad thing, because when there is a little bit of moisture from the ground, it actually makes whatever is there rot. From the ground, you need either a lot of moisture or no moisture. From the sky, a little bit of moisture would actually be good. But from the ground, a little bit of moisture is a bad thing. So the klal of the curse here is, in the worst possible way, the sky will be completely dry, no moisture whatsoever, and the ground will produce a little bit of moisture, just enough for it to be a problem that will cause the crops to rot. So Rashi here tells us that he draws our attention to an almost identical curse in Parshas Kisavo, in this week's Parsha. If you hold the place over here on page 710 and jump ahead to this week's Parsha, Parshas Kisavo, that would be on page 1078, Pasuk Chav Gimel, verse 23, we find an almost identical curse. V'yayu shamecha asher al roshcha nechoshes, the sky that is over your head will be copper, v'ha'aretz asher tachtecha barzel, and the land under you will be iron. This is Moshe Rabbeinu speaking to the Jewish people in third person, 23. So that the sky will be like copper, the ground will be like iron.
He reverses it.
Rashi says Moshe Rabbeinu deliberately reversed it in order to ratchet down the curse a little bit. Make no mistake, it is a curse either way. It means there'll be a drought, which is, God forbid, a terrible thing. But Moshe Rabbeinu ratcheted it down a little bit in that it will be the sky that will sweat a little bit, because it'll be like copper rather than like iron. And that's a good thing, that there'll be a little bit of moisture coming from the sky, and the ground will be like iron rather than like copper, that it won't sweat at all. There'll be no moisture from the ground, so whatever does grow will not rot. So there is at least a little bit of a silver lining, the way Moshe Rabbeinu says it in Parashas Kisavo. But the way Hashem says it over here in Parashas Bechukosai is much worse. When I say Hashem says it versus Moshe Rabbeinu saying it, Moshe Rabbeinu didn't make it up in Kisavo, but it is said through Moshe rather than... It is said as if Moshe Rabbeinu was the one talking, whereas in Parashas Bechukosai, it is said that Hashem is saying it to the Jewish people. So it is more harsh over here in Parashas Bechukosai than it is in Parashas Kisavo with this particular curse. Rashi does point out in Parashas Kisavo that it's still a curse. Even though it's ratcheted down, it is still a curse. It's still a drought that we're talking about, which is not a good thing. It's just that it's slightly less bad.
Of course, anything Moshe Rabbeinu says is usually through HaKadosh Baruch Hu, says Hashem he still loves his people.
Yeah, and that over there, in Parshas Kisavo, Hashem is having Moshe Rabbeinu say it in a way that is not as bad. That's it. Okay, so that's the second set of seven curses. We move on back on page 712. Pasuk Chafal, verse 21. Vim telchui mikeri v'lo sovu lishmo ali. Now here we have a new phrase. And if you'll go with me, carry, and you will not want to listen to me, v'yasafti aleichem makah, I will add upon you a plague or punishment, sheva kechatoseichem, seven according to your sins. So the word carry, as they translate here in the English, is you'll behave casually with me. Keri comes from the word mikra. Mikra means it just happened to be. Mikra is the opposite of deliberate. Mikra means just happened, right? It just happened. We say there's no such thing as something happening without Hashem's input, without Hashem's involvement. So Hashem is deliberate. He decides and makes things happen. Keri is, you know, it just happened. Coincidence. That's what Keri is. We say that Amalek, what did he do to the Jewish people? We read it in the end of last week's parasha. Asher karcha baderech. One way of translating that is, he happened upon you on the road. That's the way Amalek would characterize it. Amalek says, no, there's no God. It happened. It's a happenstance. That's what Keri means. So Hashem says, if you're going to go with me, Keri, you're going to chalk up the previous 14 punishments to, it happened. Doesn't mean anything. There's no punishment going on over here. It's coincidence. So you're still not going to get the message. So Hashem says, then you're going to force my hand. Then I'm going to have to punish more. As Hashem is actually, this really goes back to what Mrs. Blatch was saying before, Hashem is really giving us the formula. He's saying, listen, if you want the punishments to stop, then acknowledge that they're punishments. Then acknowledge that this is because of sin and change your behavior and say, this, we got to stop doing what we're doing because this is what's happening. But if you're going to chalk it up to, circumstance, coincidence, nature, you're going to start, so then you're going to force my hand and say, okay, I got to give more punishment because you're not listening to me. So don't ignore what's happening. So if you're going to ignore it, then Hashem says, I have no choice. Then I have to add more punishments. Pasuk Chaf Beis, verse 22. What's the next seven? V'yishlach livachem es chayas ha-sadeh. I will send against you the animals of the field. V'shikila eschem. And they will, it probably means to kill. And they will strike you. No?
Leave you bereft of your
children. Yeah, bereft. Okay, I didn't think it was going to translate it that specifically. Shikul means the death of children. That's what shikul means. It really means death, but it is specifically referring to the death of children. So, I didn't expect them to translate it that much in detail, but that is literally what it means. V'chrisa es behem techem, and your animals will be cut down, which is a serious matter in an agricultural society that does not have technological advancement. The animals are what powers the economy. You need your donkeys, you need your oxen, you need your camels, you need your cows. This is in sheep. All these things are very, very significant in society. Without those things, then the whole economy breaks down.
We have things equal to that now.
Yes, we do. Right. But I just saying, this is not a trivial matter like you lose the family pet. This is a much more serious issue. Vim ita eschem, and it will diminish you, meaning your numbers will go down. Vinasham udarchechem, and your roads will become desolate, meaning that there will no longer be people traveling the roads, because there'll be people will be dying, and it'll be so dangerous on the roads, people will avoid the roads. So here, it didn't seem like there were seven. Rashi deals with this. That we have the wild animals, that's one. We have the loss of the children is two. The loss of the animals is three. The diminishing of the people is four. And the desolate roads is five. There are two not mentioned here. So Rashi tells us that the two that are not mentioned, let me find the Rashi, are actually mentioned in Parashas Ha'azinu. Which is that v'shen behemos ha-shalach bam, which means that not only will the chayos, a chaya is a wild animal, like a lion or a bear, not only will they kill people, but even the domesticated animals, the behemos, will also bite and kill with their bite. So in other words, nature will change it for the punishment, that even domesticated animals will kill with their bite. That would be part of the punishment. So that would be number six. And number seven is chamas zochalei afar, with the chamas would be the anger of those that slither on the ground, venom. That there'll be venom, as Rashi says, that even the domesticated animal's bite will have venom. So it's a double punishment. It's that the domesticated animals, first of all, will attack human beings, which is not normal. Naturally, that doesn't usually happen. You don't usually have that a sheep would attack a human being. But not only will the sheep attack a human being, but the sheep will have venom, mm-hmm. and its bite will be lethal. So those are two other punishments that are being mentioned here as well. Pasuk Chav Gimel, verse 23, Vim be'eile lo sivasru li, and if with these you don't listen to me, or you don't be chastised by me, okay? V'alachtem imi keri, you go with me as if it's all happenstance. V'alachti af ani imachem bekeri, that I will also go with you in happenstance, which means you will have trouble noticing me. And this we can all relate to. That Hashem's presence will be difficult to discern. I will also punish you 7 for your sins. And here we have the next 7. I'll bring against you the sword. No kemes nekam baris, that will take revenge for the covenant. In other words, you are leaving the covenant, so I will bring the sword as a revenge for that. And you will gather to your cities, meaning you'll be scared to be outside of the walled cities. But when you're hiding in the cities to stay away from the enemy, well, then I will send a plague against you. And then you will be given over to the enemy, because inside the city will be a plague, outside the city will be the enemies, there'll be nowhere to turn. B'shivri lachem mate lechem. When I break for you the staff of bread, this is the final, at least in this set of punishments, this is always the final and most terrible thing. Food, at the end of the day, is the great equalizer. Everybody needs food. And God forbid, when food is scarce, there's no food, then everybody's in big trouble. So, b'shivri lachem mate lechem, when I break for you the staff of bread, v'afu eser nashim lachmechem b'sanur echad, 10 women will bake your bread in one oven. They won't have enough fuel, wood, to stoke up many ovens. So everybody will have to pool the resources and bake their bread in one oven. Ve'yishivu lachmechem b'mishkol. And then they will return your bread by weight. As Rashi says, the bread will fall apart in the oven. And what will come out will be little pieces. And they're going to have to weigh the pieces to divide them up amongst the women equally. Ve'achaltem v'losisba'u. You will eat and not feel satiated. We learned before in the brachos, before the tochacha, which we spoke about last time, that one of the brachos was, you'll eat and be satiated, which means not only will there be an abundance of food, but the food will make you feel satisfied. We all know that there's a big difference between eating and feeling satisfied and eating and not feeling satisfied. We've all been to meals where we walk away and say, ah, that was a good meal. And also we've been to meals where we walk away and say, I'm still feeling a little hungry. And you want a snack, right? We've had that happen. So for us, it's God, from Baruch Hashem, it's not a big deal because we live with an abundance and there's plenty of food, Baruch Hashem. People don't go hungry, Baruch Hashem, in our culture. But when food is scarce, whether you walk away from a meal feeling satisfied or whether you walk away feeling, God forbid, hungry, is a very big deal because there is no other food available. So in a time of bracha, even a little bit of food will make a person feel satisfied. They will not feel the need to snack. They will not feel the need for more. They'll feel fine. But God forbid, in a time of punishment, then not only will food be scarce, but the food will not feel filling. And a person will feel hungry after having eaten, and there will be no other food to have. And that's part of the punishment, God forbid. Okay, so you see there's a pause over there. There's a little bit of a break. And the reason why there's a break over there is because at this point we have finished the 7 for 7. The 7 punishments. I'm sorry, that's not true. I'm wrong. We have one more 7 for 7 to go. But there is a little bit of break over here. The nature of the next set of punishments is going to be on a higher level. Because until this point, we've dealt with generalities, sicknesses, and enemies, and plagues, and famine, and drought. Those are the things we've dealt with. All these are generalities. The punishments will become more specific With starting with Pasuk Chaf Zayin with verse 27. So we are going to pause here, primarily because I think we've had enough of these punishments. I think we need a little bit of a break. It's not easy to read these things. So Mitzvah Hashem, we'll continue this next week. It would be my goal next week to finish the Tochacha, so we don't have to dwell on it for more than 2 weeks. So hopefully next Sunday we'll have a chance to finish it up.
Thank you for listening to Torah Media Atlanta. Won't you consider making a donation to help support this important work? Just go to TorahMediaAtlanta.com and click on the Donate link. Thank you very much.